Question for test your memory. Three nights ago, when the dish team was in here banging on things for a Vespers, 11 Lords of Drumming or something like that, they read something from Corinthians. So, anybody remember what that was?
Chapter 12.
1 Corinthians 12.
Thank you. I like that one. That was a good one.
That is good. Much better than I would have been looking through here all day.
I know, you were right.
That's what the word is.
We supposed to start? Am I supposed to get a cue from AV? I'm ready to start. That's it? Okay. Good evening, welcome. You're here to be entertained for an hour. The subject is, this is a session as they call them up here, the subject is massage. We don't have anything prepared, so it's going to be interesting how to entertain you for an hour. We don't have any agenda.
Cool.
We don't even have any announcements. We might have one announcement. If they are unable to get the heat going in the hotel, they got to go. Okay, so tomorrow it'll still be up in room 2, and we don't have to change over to Lodge 6. You're lucky. Okay, so that's the only announcement. No agenda, no slides, no chalkboards, no little diagrams, no charts. A biblical reading, though. We'll do a biblical reading because it's always nice to have up here. What we're going to do is usually in sessions you get a spiel, and which the experts, that's us, massage therapists, Elizabeth and Scott and Lily. Lily Sage? It's a Lily Sage. Can I massage Lily?
Yeah.
Okay. She's had hers for the day. What we usually do is you get a spiel and then it's going to be question and answer. What we'll probably do is instead of a spiel, we may just have question and answer. I don't think we'll share too much technique tonight, maybe a little bit. It's kind of hard to work on people with mittens on and trench coats. We may teach you some of the things that you can share with each other. So I want to read. This was the first night we got here. We thought this was great. We have a title for our session here, but we don't have any agenda. So that's as far as we got with the title. We'll just call this Body and Spirit.
Mommy.
Okay. I'm going to read from this one again from Corinthians. First chapter, Corinthians 1, chapter 12. Verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the organs in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single organ, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body which seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those parts of the body which we think less honorable, we invest with a greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior part, that there may be no discord in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. What does that have to do with massage? That's a good one to start on in massage. What we're going to do is just open up questions and save a little bit of the spiel for later. If you have any questions about massage, any at all, if you want to ask us about our background, where we studied massage, if you have a question of how does massage relate to Lutheranism or difference you may have heard between Rolfing and Shiatsu, what is the value of massage in medicine, health, modesty, Christianity, was Jesus a massage therapist? Any question like that, Elizabeth would be glad to answer. And if she can, I'll make something up.
All right.
Okay. Are there any questions at all about massage?
Where did you study?
Elizabeth, you want to go first?
In Florida, there's a Suncoast School of Massage Therapy in Tampa that has a 6-month program, about 500 hours. So we studied there, but we had also had varied backgrounds besides that. Like, I'm a nurse, and in nursing school, there was a little bit of massage in there, too. And then I grew up in a family that massaged each other, so we had our own little lessons going on early on.
I was an Army medic. I got drafted back then. I was a conscientious objector, and they made conscientious objectors in the Army into medics. They didn't give them guns, and they put little white crosses so the enemy could shoot at you. And that's what they did with people who were conscientious objectors in the draft Army. So I became a medic, and that was sort of my first exposure to, I was an ambulance driver and worked in a hospital. And I saw how medicine didn't really work very well. I saw hospitals as places where people came to get sick. When I got out of the Army, I got interested in macrobiotics and Oriental medicine, and I went to Boston to study with a man named Michio Kushi, the king of macrobiotics, okay, the brown rice guru, and studied Oriental medicine there. In Japanese massage, it's called shiatsu. It's a traditional, there's a couple styles of Japanese medicine. Japanese massage, ama is one, shiatsu is another. And that's what I studied, and I studied, they use pressure points, the same pressure points that they use and insert needles into in acupuncture. So that's what I studied. Instead of inserting needles, we would stimulate the points with our thumbs and with heat. Well, that's my first, I was the demonstration model for a very fine massage therapist, so I learned by being his guinea pig for his class. It's a great way to learn. And I liked it, and I studied it, and I moved out to Manson, the other end of the lake, and I taught in a massage school. I taught Oriental massage, and I wound up learning Swedish massage there, and did it for many years until Elizabeth and I decided to go get licensed and went to Florida, where we studied and taught at the school in Florida. Excuse me. And got licensed in New York, Florida, and Washington State. We moved out. We also studied something called neuromuscular therapy, a corrective therapy, in Florida with the creator named Paul St. John. And we came up to the Northwest and are continuing to learn, have studied with other people since then. Massage school is like going to kindergarten, it's kind of, or elementary school. You learn some basics, but you have to go to graduate school or study with other people when you get done. So that's where we kind of learned. That was 1974 when I began. Anything else? Okay, we're done. Oh, my hair is David. Just kidding.
All of us recognize immediately the benefits of having a massage.
Do we?
I think
Are you making a generalization? Who here doesn't think it's
Anybody
any...
hates a massage? But what's the best thing to do between professional massages to keep it going and rather own it?
Well, Elizabeth.
You turn.
Scott. Tennis. Professional massage is a generic term. Massage doesn't belong to us. How many people in this room are massage therapists? Raise your hand. Okay. I want to see everybody put up their hands. Thank you. Okay. Everybody who touches, you get when you walk along, and okay, that's massage therapy. You start rubbing your toe. That's where it begins, okay? That's why does it feel good to put your hands on tissue that hurts. That's how it begins. Massage does not belong, just as a profession, massage belongs in the family. It belongs in relationships. It belongs to you. It belongs to society. It doesn't belong to us. There's a place for people like Elizabeth and myself who study and work with specific injuries or can teach people how to get back in touch with their bodies. There's a place for that. It doesn't mean that you can only get relaxed by a massage therapist. I knew a lot of massage before I ever went to school, and all of you know various ways to touch and make yourself and others feel better. Kinesthetically, by touch, yourselves, and don't think that, well, I can't do that, I'm an eye, therefore I can't be an ear and I can't hear. We're all, you all have the potential to help each other and touch each other, and that's where it should be. So, between massage therapy, professional treatments, you should go to your friends. You should rub your own knee. Give yourself a foot massage. A lot of it has to do, if you're working with specific problems, a lot of it has to do with that specific problem. If you're working with injuries, a lot of it has to do with learning how to relax it, being aware of it, being conscious of it. There are, a lot of us don't know we're tight, don't know we're sore, until our bodies scream at us and say, ah, I hurt, my shoulder won't move. It's a state called sensory motor amnesia. And who wants to demonstrate sensory motor amnesia? How in touch we are with our body. So what to do between massages is to learn how to go inside and get in contact with your body. In our society, we're out of touch with our body. It's sort of taught that if you're in pain, ignore it, or ignore it and maybe it'll go away. Then there's the no pain, no gain philosophy, you know. Well, a little pain's good for you. It's supposed to hurt, isn't it? So we kind of shunt that information away. The truth is no pain, no gain is bogus. There's a purpose for pain, and it's for our bodies to talk to us. Our body's trying to tell us something, that we're doing something wrong. It's a wonderful tool. Otherwise, we would leave our finger on the stove all day until it got singed and then sauteed. And so that's what pain's for. Is you say, hey, dummy, take your finger off the stove. And then the pain goes away. So we need to learn how to be in touch with pain. Brad?
I disagree.
Okay, let's hear it.
I think that there's some pain that's good. I go in and lift weights, and I think that that pain for me makes me feel good later. What do you have to say about that?
It's like the hammer. You hit yourself, it feels good when you stop. The pain feel good or the aftermath feel good?
I got so much into lifting weights that even the pain started to feel good. Listen. And I would lift really hard and I felt good about myself. I felt good about the pain that I put myself through because I knew I was reaching an end. I was reaching a goal of strength and fitness.
That's your way to choose to do that. And that's your choice. There are wonderful ways to lift weights and use much lower reps or much lower weights and high reps and get wonderful results. And it depends on what your goals are from lifting weights. Do you want to bulk up? Do you want to be massive? Do you want to tone? Do you want to be in balance? Depends on what your goals are as a weightlifter. If you want to hurt and be able to deal with pain, that's a tool. Some people only know they're alive because they hurt. It's a scary thought. People wake up in the morning and they're so out of touch with their bodies that unless they hurt, they aren't sure that, oh yeah, my low back hurts. Oh God, it's great to be alive. And that's their experience of life. The quality, I don't think that God was meant to torture us to make our life unpleasant. It's basically teaching us to do something different. You choose the pain. The pain is information to you, and that's what it is. You can use that information. You use that information by using that communication from your body when you're lifting weights. That's a gauge for you. You know how far into pain to go. You decide to go that far into it and use that communication. That's your choice. That's your being in touch, and that's fine. A lot of people don't experience their pain that way. Okay, we wanted to show you how people are out of touch with their bodies. Guinea pig number one. That was John. This goes. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, he'll be a good one. He'll probably be a bad one because he's pretty in touch with his body, but we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah. So, a lot of times, what's the value of massage is to re-educate us that we can relax. You can leave your book there. Okay, so you tell people to relax. We've forgotten how to relax. Just lie down on your back. Oh, it's got these horrible pants.
They make a lot of noise.
Okay. Okay, what I want you to do is to answer the worst. We'll see if this will work with him. Okay, now, what I want him to do is to let his leg relax, and his leg's going to fall over. Now remember, gravity's pulling on us all the time, right? Okay, where's his leg going? Falls, hits me in the abdomen, boink. Okay, I'm going to show you his arm, okay? And I'm going to move it just inside, and his arm's going to relax, okay? Watch which way his arm falls. Let your arm go. Go.
It's not falling.
It's not falling. Let your arm go. This is why we can't relax. Okay? Are we in touch with our body? Are you? Bravo. Okay. Now, watch his arm fall the other way. It fell out, right? Okay. Watch it go this way. Kind of fell in, okay? Now watch. There we go. Let it go. Relax. So, he's lost. The central nervous system has all the potential to relax, but what's holding this arm up? Go. Okay. So, what's holding his leg up? Now, his leg will obviously fall out, okay? Let it go. Boom. Falls out. But it doesn't fall in at all. Okay. Why isn't this leg just falling over and just going blunk around the other leg? Instead of kind of fall blunk. So we're going to teach him how to do that. Okay? We're going to say, get smart, brain. We're going to send some information up to his brain. It's because we tell people, I'm tense all the time. Well, why don't you relax? Because people don't know how to anymore. So this is what you do in between professional massages. You get in touch with your body so that it relaxes, so that you can feel your big toe, so you can feel the pronator teres and the anconeus muscle, which will hold that up. Oop, fell down. Good. Right. Now, what I want you to do is to push out against my hand, okay, just like that, okay? These are the muscles that, his butt muscles up here are the ones that are holding his leg up, okay? And he doesn't know how to relax these muscles because he hasn't felt them in a long time. Okay, so we're going to, numb butts, we call those. So, I want you to press against my hand, and I want you to slowly lower your knee towards your other one. Just wait it, slowly lower it down. That's good. Beautiful. I'm going to push out against my hand. Good. I'm going to lower it some more. Good. Push out against my hand a little bit more. Hold that contraction. Let it go down just a little bit if it wants to go any farther. Gee, that's great. That's where its leg ought to be. Push back out and relax. Okay. Good. Now hold your knee down. Hold it down. Just like that. Good. Relax. Good. Good. It went that way. Okay. Push out against my hand. Good. Now slowly lower it down, nice and smooth, like you're lowering a bucket into a well. Beautiful. Good. Push back up a half inch. Hold it right there. Lower it down some more. Okay. He's learning how to feel that muscle that he hasn't felt before. Push out against my hand. And lower down some more. Oh, look at that. New territory. Good. Push out again. See if it wants to go any farther. Or if that's it, you're in charge of how far it wants to go. Good. Push out against my hand. Good. Relax. And hold it there. Hold it down. Hold it down. Totally relax. So that's how you get back in touch with the with those muscles. He learned how to feel those muscles first. So feel your body. If your body hurts, feel it. Like Nancy Nurse was telling us last night. Thank you. That was a lovely demonstration. Okay. Nancy Nurse was telling us a community meeting. If you feel sick, stay home. A lot of people say, how do you feel? Well, I don't know. Do you feel sick? First, you have to know that you're sick in order that you're supposed to stay at home. So you need to feel these muscles before you can learn how to relax them. Okay. First, so what we have them do, and John, we had him tighten the muscle so that he could feel the muscle, and then once he, oh yeah, there is that old tensor fascia lata muscle, and then once he felt it, he could let it go. So that's just one of the ways you can do it. If you want to feel your toes, yeah, I can't feel my toes, it's so cold. Okay, everybody clench your toes. Everybody clench your toes. Okay, and then relax them. Once you feel them, you can relax them. So, what to do between massages, professional massages, or any other, is to feel your body, be in touch with your body. Invest your soul, your spirit, your consciousness, part of your time in your body, in your flesh. And there seems to be this dichotomy sometimes in religion between the spirit and the flesh, and ignore the flesh and pay attention to the spirit. It's important also to pay attention to the flesh if you're living in it. It's your temple. It's the temple of your soul. So keep it clean. Honor the small parts of your body. Honor each part and live as a whole. Understand the importance of your toes, of your ears. If something hurts, attend to it. Love each part, and you will serve the whole. Any other questions?
Is there a massage for babies or small children, smaller as of under 2 years old?
Yeah, there's infant massage.
Okay, well, Lily. Massage? Okay.
Lily calls it Lily massage.
No. No, you have to be 18 or older, or it's 21 in the state in order to get a massage, I think. Yeah, you start...
Preemies. In the neonate intensive cares, they're getting in there. They're finding that the infants develop a lot more rapidly and than infants that aren't being touched at all. That because they're born so early, they need touch just as much as those who are born on time because
more.
They're in utero, they're constantly being touched with the solution that surrounds them. And this way, when they're outside of the body, they're being touched in other ways through massage. It's real helpful. Lily loves it.
Are there any special techniques for the babies?
Yeah, actually, they have certification in it, and they have classes that teach people.
Videos.
And
little classes where moms get together with the babies and do these wonderful things. It's developmentally, it's incredibly important for mammals, primates, to have that touch. All mammals, to have that touch. If you're a fish or a frog, it doesn't matter. Lay a few million eggs, throw some sperm over them, swim away. That's it. For mammals, the developmental is very important. Thank you, Lily. Nice demo. And so you can, there's a video called Infant Massage, which kind of teaches, goes through it with mothers and babies, and it's a great video. You got these little naked babies lying back. Marsh, it's mom's turn to work on you. How about the front massage? So there we go. Other questions?
Yeah, I wanted to know, can you give us a couple tips or maybe a little advice on how to give a good back rub or something?
Yes. We'll save that for later. Okay. Bryce.
I was wondering if someone is sore in a certain area.
Yes.
Can you massage them too much? If they've got pain right here from I don't know, they've been pitching too many baseballs or something. Is it dangerous?
Can you hurt somebody with massage? Yes. You can overwork them. It's very difficult to hurt somebody. I mean, cause a... anybody sore from where I worked on them? Yeah, what's next to you? Who?
Jenny?
Uh-huh. Okay, where?
She said that she had pain in the back that weren't there before.
Okay. You can work too deep on people. Like a sore arm, you want to kind of milk it through. We do some fairly specific work, and you can go in and work tendons very hard. And you can overwork them, but you don't use common sense. There are some contraindications for massage. Not too many. Don't overdo. The best way not to hurt somebody is to talk with them. Say, is this tender? Does this change? Does this release? Should I lighten my pressure? If you do that, if you use pain, the no pain, no gain philosophy, there are those who love to be hurt. Oh, go deeper. Oh, yeah, that's a good pain. Oh, yeah. They like that. Use pain as a communication to avoid overworking somebody.
Is that all right? If someone's going, oh, yeah, that feels good. Is that doing them good, or is it just going to...
Probably for you, no. People think that, again, if it doesn't hurt, they aren't doing anything. If they go to a chiropractor and they don't hear a then they haven't gotten their $20 worth. Whereas, are there any nurses in here? Okay. When you're in nursing school, they teach therapeutic touch. Therapeutic touch works on the knee about like this.
Is that too...
Okay. Much can be done. Being subtle, you can never being subtle is can be very good also. The first tip for a back rub, stay focused. Okay? Massages that don't feel too good are when you're talking to class, you know, I'm going to massage his knee, and hey, Elizabeth, did you get me something like this? And where you're not, you're working with somebody, you know.
Stay there, stay with them.
That's the main thing. Don't try and balance your checkbook while you're working at somebody's back. Okay, so be there with them. You can really tell when people's focus is starting to wander. Now, I have to, as a massage therapist, I have to make sure that I stay in the room with the people. So, okay, cracking knuckles. What's cracking knuckles about? Can't be bad. It's good for some people. Chiropractors make a min off it. Chiropractor, what is the sound that these make? Am I going to grow up and get arthritis? Bad knuckles. Okay. There are a couple different things that happen in a joint capsule. A joint capsule is two bones that come together like this. Okay? Here's two bone ends. Now, what goes across that is there's a sac that goes around that. And it connects everything. So the two bone ends are kind of like stick into a little bag or a piece of cellophane. And inside is nerves and blood and this... lubricant that keeps everything moving very nicely. Now, when you decompress the joint or pull it apart, it creates a little nitrogen bubble in there, which kind of pulls apart. People who snap their gum, okay, when you pull like taffy apart like that, you'll get a pop, okay? Or if you like chewing gum, they sit there and they make these crackling sounds all the time as they pull gum apart. That's the gas that's being pulled apart, and a little nitrogen gas that pulls apart. It's okay. You know, it's not going to hurt anything. The other reason that you can get snaps in joints or will do it will be if a tendon is very tight and it goes across a crosses over a bony part in the bone, and you have a tight tendon from a muscle that goes there. It's really tight. When you move the bone, you get a snap. Okay, this kind of snap. And that's a tendon snap, and that can really irritate the tendons. You can wind up with tendonitis. And that's not, usually if you relax a muscle, you can relax a tendon, and that won't snap so much. You won't get those creaks. I guess there is one other kind of bone. When people have injured themselves seriously, and there's supposed to be a Teflon disc that happened between the major bones. It's piece of cartilage. When that gets destroyed, then the bones sit right on top of each other, and then they just sit there and grind. And that's extremely painful, and these people usually wind up with surgeries and things. So, like, they wind up having their ankles fused or their low backs fused or something. But as far as that goes, it's okay to release, decompress the joint. It isn't unto itself an end. If the muscle stayed tight, it'll just jam back up there, but you won't grow up with big fat knuckles. Probably. You might, I'm not sure. Okay? Yes?
You just mentioned chiropractors. Would you suggest massage therapy over chiropractors for like back pain and stuff like that?
No. I wouldn't. I would say, in addition to, in some cases, you put me on a spot by saying a massage better than chiropractic.
Well, I've heard that's basically what chiropractors are. They pretty much give you a massage, kind of.
Boy, not the chiropractor. How many people have been to chiropractors that gave them a massage? How many people have ever been to chiropractors? Raise your hands. How many got massage or soft tissue work? No hands. They don't do that.
What do they do?
They used to. If you had gone to chiropractics 20 years ago, you would have gotten a wonderful little man or woman who would probably book you for a half-hour session, use this electric vibrator, and gone all over the soft tissue of your shoulder or your back, and then done that for 20 minutes, and then gone and, go, and aligned your spine for 10 minutes, and that would have been it, and then they probably would have booked you maybe once more, and then again 3 months later. Okay, now it's, what's the average length of a chiropractic appointment? Eight is like something about 8 minutes. Hi. See you next week. Okay. So So, how many chiropractors does it take to change a light bulb? It takes one, but he has to come back 12 times to do it. No, chiropractors, the alignment of the spine is vital. It's very important, and a good chiropractor is a great healer. But speak into the microphone, Lily, so that they get that.
Microphone.
Here it is. But there's more to the alignment of the spine. This is a bone. The alignment, the chiropractors work with the alignment of the bones. Now, I want to move this bone right there. How do I do that? I think I'll tell this muscle to tighten up. The bone moved. Wow. So if I want to move it, what moves bones? Soft tissue, right, muscles. So if bones are out of place, how did they get there? They either got shoved there from a trauma, or the muscle got tight and went into spasm and pulled it out of alignment. Pushing the bone back in and of itself may do it, especially if it's only been out for a very short time. It's been out for a long time. The muscle's been tight, like John's leg, and he doesn't know how to relax. And shoving it back works. Shove it there, works out until you sneeze and go, ha-choo, and then the bone's back out. Okay, you sneeze or you walk off a curb and it's back out. And that's why you have to go back so many times. What works ideally is to go get a specific massage, some massage work that's specifically geared towards releasing those muscles that are pulling you this way or that way, and you wind up with scoliosis and things. And then go to a chiropractor who is very easy to adjust then. You get a very easy adjustment, and it lasts for a long time. One of the frustrations of chiropractics, going to chiropractors, is that you go for a long time, you spend a lot of money. When chiropractics and massage work together, it's just a really beneficial team up. So one's not better than the other. Except for me.
Mommy?
Other questions?
Water, Mommy.
Did you have a question, Drew?
Drew. Yes, you did. You raised your hand earlier.
Okay. What's the difference between Oriental massage and Swedish massage?
Clothes. No. Oriental massage. Okay, next. Who is guinea pig number two? It was Drew. Drew, you were two. Yes. You were three.
Drew.
Okay, Oriental massage. Oriental massage works with the intention that's different. You want to lie face down? Oriental massage looks different.
And cross your legs.
Now, in Oriental massage, they're working with something very different. The whole philosophy is different. They're working with, it's an energetic form of medicine. They are not working with, I'm working down the erector spinae muscle, I'm at T7, T12. They aren't working on muscles, ligaments, tendons, per se. Okay? What they're doing are following what are called energy paths or meridians, the same one that acupuncture has made so famous. You know, they stick these needles in someplace. So where are they sticking them? They're sticking them in these flows of chi energy. Chi energy has not been measured very well yet by Western society. Therefore, it doesn't exist. However, you can go into surgeries, and as long as a doctor has studied acupuncture, anesthesia, they will stick some needles in, and you can have surgery without anesthesia now in this country, which is great. You know, they stick a few needles in, slice open the thing.
But that's only in certain areas that they can do that, mostly the dental areas.
Dental areas, and they put needles in the ear. You can go and have your gums, you can have periodontal work and have your gums trimmed away with no anesthesia and not feel anything.
And then amazing have no stuff. After effects.
And have no after effects, no side effects from Novocaine, Xylocaine, all those canes. So, how does this work? But they can't measure this energy, what it's doing. Okay, so it looks like this. It looks like what I want to do is to feel the energy coming in the top and the bottom. You have these forces, yin and yang in the Oriental. You've got ooh coming up from Mother Earth, It's this yin energy, and coming down from the heavens, it's this yang energy, and they kind of pass through our body and shake hands as they go in their merry ways. Okay? When these are following the pathways, when there's no detours or congestion or Seattle crosstown traffic, then you have a wonderful, healthy, flowing, harmonious body. Okay? When you get these congestions, injuries, or blockages of qi energy, then you start to have things like disease. Okay? You have problems. This is wonderful work for chronic problems. Western medicine is really, really good for trauma. If I cut off my finger, I wouldn't go to an acupuncturist. I'd go to the best neurosurgeon I could find. Okay? But if I had a liver problem that had been plaguing me for 14 years, I wouldn't go to a doctor in this country, because they probably wouldn't know. They aren't very good at internal chronic medicine, chronic pain. Okay? They're very good at acute injury, the best in the world. But I go to an oriental physician probably, or a homeopath, or personally, for undiagnosable conditions. Not that they don't have good things, but they, I don't know what's wrong, let's just go in and take it out. When in doubt, cut it out, or drug it out. So, you're working down meridian pathways, you're using one hand to receive, you're just sending signals across between the two. You work through clothes, you do a lot of body positioning, it's usually done on the floor, you use your whole body, you're trying to feel, what does that point feel like? Do I sink in? Is he pushing me away? What's the quality of the feel of each of these points as you work down these meridians? Okay. And you start to, and it's just done through the clothes, it's very easy to get in. Okay. Working, it works in areas that we don't work. This point in here is not ever worked in Western massage. Oriental massage is a major point. You work points like here. This point, this carburetor point, is one of the four major points of the body where the large intestine meridian, this is your large intestine, did you know that? And that's your lung. You didn't know that this was, you thought they were up here. Okay, so this is where your aerial fume mixture is. I want everybody to take their hands and put them together just like this. Okay. Now, you see that there's a line between where your thumb and finger is. Okay, see that line right there? Look right where that ends. Let me see if I can get up there. See this line between where your thumb and your forefinger stop? Yeah. Put your thumb right there and press towards your index finger bone and press there a little bit. Okay. Is that tender on anybody?
Yeah.
Okay. Now you will all have good bowel movements tomorrow morning. Good. Headache points. This is what it works on. It works with these sort of philosophies. So the difference is it can be very intense, it can be very painful, but it seems to, the effect is never predictable when you give a shiatsu treatment. The effect isn't predictable because if somebody's tired, they'll get up and they'll feel energized. And if somebody's really wired, when they get an oriental massage, they'll come out and they may sleep for 15 hours because they'll get the rest. It had strange effects from doing oriental massage, which I don't do much anymore. People who have been suffering from bedwetting who are 33 years old, went home and never did that again. So it balances systems. It balances whole programs within your body. It works with the kidney meridian, the stomach meridian, the large intestine, the small intestine meridian. They have meridians for organs that we don't even have. The triple warmer. What's the triple warmer? I don't know. So this is what the Oriental, they're looking for an energetic balance, keeping you in harmony with your environment. Doesn't that kind of sound like what Holden Village is all about? Mm-hmm. It's a shiatsu kind of village. Yeah. Okay, thank you. I know you wanted more. Stay up here. Okay. Well, that's the difference, the intention. The intention is energetic medicine, as they're dealing with energies, as opposed to muscles, tissues, ligaments, releases, tonus, how much current's going in. Okay. Now, the question is, do you believe in energies? Does the body have energies? Anybody doubt that? These are devils that we're working with. Other questions? Yes, John.
Sure, since my middle name is Ralph, I've always been wondering about Ralph and Wallace.
Ralph!
I've never found a very good thing since.
Has anybody here been Ralphed? One Rolfing session over there. Only one. She didn't go back. No, she, her friends left. Anybody else here been Rolfed? Okay, what was Rolfing like?
Really deep, massage. A little bit of pain, but I didn't
really
pain.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
Great. Notice any change?
A lot of
okay. Rolfing is a style of massage which was developed by a woman named Ida Rolf, a tremendous pioneer in the field, an old battle horse, actually. And she looked at how we stand. And she took us in segments and said that if you were walking along and you got hit by a golf ball when in the side when you were 3 and it hurt like that, that your body might tighten there. It might not fully relax, and you might walk with the shoulder just a little bit lower. Okay, and if you stubbed your toe or broke your toe on that one side, you might walk with a little limp, and that would develop and tighten you over here. And you wind up with these minute distortions, sometimes minute, sometimes not. We walk around like that. And they said, and she found out that people who walk around in these distorted postural patterns develop pain. Okay, when you're balanced, again, balanced, when you're up and down and balanced, aligned, uses very little energy because your skeleton is working well. You want to get your skeleton. Brad's a weightlifter. If he's got his spine and his legs and all his bones lined up, then he can lift really well. If he has one knee in like that and he tries to lift, he's going to buckle on that side and hurt himself. But if he keeps it really important to keep yourself balanced to lift heavy weights, it gets magnified there. But we are a weight. Your head weighs about 1/10 your body weight, 14 pounds for me. So when that's over here, what's holding up those 14 pounds? Okay. Right, these muscles are doing it, and there's a wrapping in your body, like a tinfoil. You know tinfoil, you put tinfoil around my fist there, and crinkle it in and it stays like in that position. Okay. Well, that's what happens to this material called fascia in the body. So Ida Rolf would look at people who were in pain, assess, you know, how they were blocked off, and then go in and open up those scarring, that body armor that is a life's accumulation of injury. And she didn't mince around. She would go in and work on the fascia, so the body line here would go in and just put your fingers in and then just spread that stuff out both directions. A very deep, as she said, deep vector of force. So it's an alignment structural thing. It's you go through a series of 10, costs $300-$400 to go through the series, and when they take pictures of you before and after. Your head might be forward like this when you walk in. I got these pains in my back. Do you think Rolfing could help me? And then they go in through Rolfing, and then when you get done, these people look like this. And the quality of their life, very dramatic changes take place. For some people, it's great. For other people, they don't like it. It's too intense. It's too painful. So they go to a session and they don't go back. So you hear things about Rolfing's really painful, or Rolfing was too intense. You hear that sort of stuff about Rolfing, but the truth is that for some people they say, oh, it was great. So what it is, the goal of Rolfing is to puts you, open you up to balance you, keep you back in touch. These body armors happen because we get out of touch. Look, puts us back in alignment. Being in alignment has tremendously beneficial results. Those of you who are walking around with shoulders up like this and trying to ski like this and pelvises that are down like this, and you're trying to live like this, and I wonder why my body hurts. And your heads are forward like this. These are structural, inefficient uses of energy, right? Yeah, right, geeks. I'm kind of a geek. And so we're using, you have to use muscles to hold your head up when you're like this. It's like wasting energy in the village. It's like leaving a blow dryer on. You have to leave your muscles on all the time to hold your head up. Whereas if we're... Yeah, they get really tight. If your back of your neck is holding your head up all the time instead of your neck bones, and pretty soon they start to feel like bones. And you feel these people with their heads like this, and the back of their neck is like a rock. It basically turns into a bone because you ask it to do a bone's work. And it really is nice to rub the back of their neck. It feels good to have the back of their neck rubbed, but if you don't put their head back over their bones, you aren't going to get at the root cause. So if you rub the back of the neck, it feels good, and then they go out and they walk around like this all day, it's just going to tighten up. Okay? That's Rolfing. Anything else?
What's the Alexander method?
Alexander. He's great. Alexander was a performer. He was an English.
He was both a theatrical speaker and I think he was also a singer. He used his vocal cords.
I believe it was an English performer in the late 1800s who started to lose his voice. It's not a great thing to do. Be like me losing my hands. That was his livelihood. And he started losing it, and he couldn't project, and he couldn't perform, and he went to various specialists and said, hey, I'm losing my bread and butter, and they couldn't help him. So he went home, and they said, well, you're just going to better take up a new line of work. You know, the great professional opinion that we made these big bucks for. And he went home and studied. He watched himself in the mirror, and he realized that before every breath, he'd do this. Okay? He said, well, why am I doing this before him? And he watched the process of every breath. He got in touch with his body and learned ways that he was using his body to get up. Like he was like using all these muscles to get up out of a chair instead of just kind of like falling or just rising up like that. You're there. Main thing, when you start to get up, you go, you move yourself forward and you tighten your neck and you kind of, that's how most of us get up instead of just kind of staying with your body all the time when we get up. So we discovered these principles, and lo and behold, his voice came back and came back better, and he started treating his family, his friends, other performers who were going through similar problems, and did a lot of research and started a school of thought. Basically what he did was do a lot of consciousness, and he works by spending a lot of awareness here in the head, and he kind of like hangs the sky hook here, okay? And he teaches you how to create the sky hook, and you go around, and if you have this kinked up spine that's like that, he kind of takes your head and goes, shakes it, and all of a sudden everything falls back into alignment. And it's all done through education and awareness, and it's very effective. Most of the work I do, I take the pelvis and I try and put it in position and carefully stack everything up so it's nice and smooth, and the person kind of winds up like this, and I get good results. Our partner is an Alexander technique, and she goes in and she takes the same people and gets the sky hook and she shakes them from the top down, everything falls into a, and she gets great results. So we work. She works from the top down, I work from the bottom up. Both are effective. Basically, balance and awareness.
You come from the energy treatment, sort of biotomy or Reiki?
Orthobiotomy, what are energetic treatments of off-the-body work? Orthobiotomy. I don't know orthobiotomy. I've heard of it, but I don't know it. Reiki, I'll address. It's called the laying on of hands. That's it. That's what it is. Well, okay. Why does it work? Because we're not bodies. We're not just bodies. Where do you begin and I, where do you stop and where do I begin, Jen? What an odd concept. Really? Okay, you don't stop at the end of your skin?
I have an aura.
An aura? Ooh, is that a Christian belief? What's an aura? What's an aura?
I'm not positive of the definition.
What do you think it is?
Does that have to do with proximity and your personal space? No.
Get out of my headspace, Brad. I don't know what proximics are in personal space.
Well, you have a space for close relationships, like girlfriend, boyfriend, what have you. Then you have relationships which are friendly relationships that have personal space. And then there's some people that know, and then if they get into maybe your intimate space, that makes you feel uncomfortable. So it's culturally fine too, because Arabic people have very shallow space. They'll come up right and talk real close to you, and their space is different than ours is. Pretty defined. In fact, you can almost measure it, and it's consistent between Westerners, almost about between 1.5 to 2 feet for people that are just friends. So I don't know if that's what you're talking about. If where
I don't either.
Start and where you
there's some very good concepts in there. Brad's partially defining it culturally and partially defining our space by psychologically space, what we need to feel safe or feel intimate or feel, and it's very true what he's saying, this cultural observations are really important that, and it brings up a great need for why we need massage in this culture. Because obviously the people in Montana have these huge needs for space because they live about 140 miles apart. You know, there's these huge amounts. People in New York City also need space because they live close to each other, but they have a row of 14 locks, deadbolts, bars, and concrete walls. So this is in our society, we live separate. Margaret and I were talking about this today, that communities like this are the norm or the exception? They're the exception because we're Americans and we're independent Yankee Doodles and we ought to be proud of it. And our personal space is 2.5 feet and don't get any closer. This is where I'm going to massage somebody right about there, okay, in this society. Chinese people, I went to visit a friend and a Chinese student in living in Queens, you know, working in this restaurant, trying to put himself through school from the People's Republic of China through a New York City school. There were 14 people living in this house, upstairs, all Chinese people. He said, we like living together. We like being this close. We're used to having a lot of people around to bounce ideas off. You know, solitude day? Nah, they don't do that. They like having people around and living communally. And other cultures do also. As you say, they have a closer space.
Mommy,
they can work, do homework right next to each other without being, if that feels comfortable to them. Okay, I was speaking more physically. Where do we physically begin? And where do we physically end? And that's partly what I mean. Do we end at our skin? How many people think so? An advanced group. So what you're saying is that we are all giving each other massage right now, right? Okay. And people who do Reiki know that. Jesus did a lot of hands-on massage. He touched people. He also did off-the-body stuff. He's like, oh, your daughter's fine. Oh, you go on home. She's alive and well now. Okay. What was Jesus' space? It was pretty big, you know? 2 days march west. Got her. Okay, she's okay. So this is Reiki. This is hands-on. If you all actually do believe that we are extending beyond our bodies, that we can feel the presence. Oh, I feel somebody. I get that sixth sense somebody's creeping up behind you. Or you feel somebody's emotion when you get near them and you can tell they're angry. Or you can feel somebody's pain. Or you can just...